The Apostle Paul had to correct the Corinthian church a couple of times concerning keeping this holy day of Passover and unleavened bread. They were obviously keeping it, but likely didn't understand the full ramifications of keeping it in full measure as they should have. So here is my title. Unleavened bread is not always about bread. Unleavened bread, the days of unleavened bread, it's not always about bread. So today I'm going to cover this familiar section that has been covered three different times, but it's good to repeat it once again. It's 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. So if you'd like to turn there, we'll read, first we'll read just a couple of verses sort of out of context, and then we'll get the context. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, therefore, Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Notice he says, for indeed you are unleavened. How did he mean that? Were they completely unleavened or were they partially unleavened? And verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And as I said, you've heard that those verses many times. I've heard them a whole lot of times. This is my 61st days of unleavened bread, so I've heard it quite a few times. So why does Paul mention malice and wickedness, insincerity and truth? What prompted him to bring that up during the days of unleavened bread? And obviously this was during the days of unleavened bread, and the Corinthian church was keeping these days when he wrote this letter, apparently. So now let's get some context so we can understand really what's going on here. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. You know, sometimes the chapters and verses don't make much sense because they're not inspired. They were just added later. But this one does. Verse 1 is really the introduction. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. So that's quite an indictment to say that. It must have been something really bad. Then he gives a short phrase as to what it is. He said that a man has his neighbor's wife. And, you know, of course, when you read that, a man has his father's wife. And you think of all kinds of strange things when you read something like that. But the commentaries all say that almost certainly this was a divorce and remarried situation, and so it was his stepmother, not his biological mother. It was his stepmother that was involved with him. But notice the attitude of the Corinthian church. And you are puffed up. On the days of unleavened bread, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. So Paul actually knew exactly what was going on. He just didn't reveal all of it in his letter. And the Corinthian church obviously knew what was going on as well. Verse 4 says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So he's saying, this incident, apparently, well, obviously it was regarding someone that was a church member, and he's saying here that this situation affects the entire church, just like leaven does to some dough. He says it leavens the whole lump. And then verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Of course, I could take a lot of time explaining those four words, but I'm not going to take that approach today. I just want to glean from this section some lessons that we can use today, 1900 years later, that we can still use today in our daily life. I normally have trouble with my voice as I get into it, but for some reason today, right off the bat. Well, now we have the context. Now we know why he said, he mentioned malice and wickedness, because this issue was certainly malicious and wicked. It was so terrible, he said, that even unconverted Gentiles wouldn't be doing such a thing. But he did say they were unleavened. So what does that prove to us? It proves that they were keeping the days of unleavened bread exactly like we do, by putting out leaven for 7 days and eating unleavened bread rather than leavened bread. So that proves that this idea that Pauline logic is different than what we believe. And Paul did not teach anything different than what we teach. You know, even the Jews realized the days of unleavened bread are for personal reflection and examination. And we're not going to turn there, 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul tells the Corinthian church that they are to examine themselves. And every time this festival comes around, we mention that verse as well, that we are to examine ourselves. And Jews consider these 7 days a time that to examine themselves and see if they're in the faith. So obviously the church there was keeping the physical days of unleavened bread, but they had forgotten the weightier matter of the law in the spiritual aspect of these days. And of course, that spiritual aspect is getting rid of spiritual leaven. And there are a lot of scriptures that I could cover, but I'm not going to cover those today. They have been covered during this festival anyway. So now I just want to conclude, and I have five lessons to take away from this this fairly short section of scripture. Number one is the early church was keeping the high days just like we do. So, you know, the churches outside wouldn't agree with that, but it's true. They were keeping the days just like we do by physically keeping, you know, throwing out leaven and eating unleavened bread. They were doing the exact same thing. Number two, the early church did physical unleavening just as we do. And of course, it's important to do the physical thing. I mean, you know, some might think it's kind of silly to do that, but it has a spiritual lesson. We're supposed to learn a spiritual lesson by that. We're supposed to throw sin out of our life and bring in the concepts of Jesus Christ. We strive to live like Jesus Christ. Number three, both the letter and the spirit of the law are important. And that's what Paul was teaching them. You're doing the physical part, but what about the spiritual part? Are you doing that? And obviously they were not. They not only were tolerating this great sin in the church, but they were boasting about it. They were happy about it. That's hard to believe almost, but that's what Paul wrote. Number four, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. What does that mean? That means if I'm doing some kind of great sin, that's going to affect the church. And that applies to all of us. If, you know, if you're involved in something you should not be, that affects the church. And we shouldn't want to do that. We shouldn't want to affect the church with the way we are doing things. Number five, the entire church has a part in keeping the church free from sin. We have an individual part keeping the church free from sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we are a congregational church where the congregation runs the church. I'm not saying that at all. But you know, you have this popular saying now: if you see something, say something. You know, and I don't know if that applies entirely, but you do need to look out for the church individually. You look out for the church, and if something is awry, then you may make the leaders, make the pastor known of it. So these are valuable lessons we can learn and that we can live by. And if we live by them, it will do well in our spiritual walk.